This evening we are going to look at the 131st Psalm. This psalm has been called a brief but charming psalm. Although the psalm is brief and although the psalm is charming, we need to understand that as we are coming out of a day of fasting for the work and life of our presbytery, we are able to take this brief and charming psalm and apply it to our lives, apply it to our Christian experience. What has the state of our soul undergone as we have fasted and prayed? I'm sure that each of our experiences have been a little bit different, and there's been various levels of struggle and trial as we've set aside time to fast and pray. What has been the heart cries that we have led up to God as we've considered who we are and as we have considered our state before Him? What have been our meditations? What have been our prayers? And what should we expect tomorrow? What should we expect as we go on? Has this all been something that we can just chalk up as an experience, an e-ticket ride? Friends, this assembly, according to our forefathers, is called a solemn assembly. It's something that we see in the scriptures, and it's something that we see throughout our history as Presbyterians. It's a time in which we set aside where we are able to cry out to God and even able to mourn who we are as individuals and even as families and as a congregation and as a presbytery. Because as we have done self-examination and as we have reflected on who we are as individuals, families, church, presbytery, we must come to this fact that we are not as we ought to be. That for as long as we have been believers, our sanctification is probably not where it ought to be. And I'm not standing up here wagging a finger. I'm somebody reflecting with you all, somebody reflecting on behalf of myself and on behalf of my family and on behalf of the congregation that someday I will stand before God and He will say, "What did you do with the LARPC?" And on behalf of a presbytery of which I am a member and accountable, believe that Christ is calling us this day to a greater purpose. God is calling on us to respond with greater faithfulness. We read from the book of Revelation and we have those letters that I've called letters to the presbytery of Asia Minor. And the definition of presbytery is that it's a grouping of churches in a geographical location that are accountable to one another. And that's exactly what we see in those two chapters. We've read areas where those churches needed to return to greater faithfulness, or they needed to renew their covenants, or they needed to restore that which had been taken down. And friends, as we gather this evening and as we consider our congregation and as we consider the congregations that we are connected to, we too are seeking God's help and we're seeking God's blessing and we are asking that God would look down upon our prayers, the prayers that have gone up in the last 24 hours, and we are saying, "Lord, intervene. Lord, help us. Lord, answer these prayers. Lord, bless us with renewal and bless us with growth and bless us with repentance as we enter our 101st year of ministry starting Monday. So what has been the purpose of this fast? What is the best way that we can respond to God and say, here is what I have learned from this experience. Here's what I have taken out of this. Here's what I am going to do to apply this to myself, to my family, to my congregation, to my presbytery. Because the worst thing that we could do is to go out there and to have a meal together and to just put it all behind us. And to maybe someday say, you remember when we did such and such? We are doing this as a means of grace, and that requires us to grab a hold of that as a means of grace. I believe the 131st Psalm sets out perfectly what we should place on ourselves as expectations. And as we prepare our hearts even to come to the Lord's table tomorrow. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. O Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. You can see from the psalm how at this time, as we sing it at the end of the sermon, as we meditate upon it now, we can see how we can apply this to ourselves in a special way. We see how Christ exemplifies this psalm, and the church is called to reflect that in our lives. There are three lessons in Psalm 131. That the psalmist has for us as the people of God. Three things that should challenge us as we finish up this day of fasting and as we prepare to go into another means of grace, the Lord's Supper, tomorrow. And as we renew our vows, as we resolve to live faithfully unto Christ. The first lesson that the psalmist has learned is humility before God. Humility before God. Notice the way that he gives three phrases that point to that humility. Three lines that he sends up to God as a prayer and as a meditation. He says, O Lord, my heart is not lifted up. My eyes are not raised too high for me. I do not occupy myself with too great and too marvelous things for me. You can sense the humility of the psalmist, this humility that has been applied to him. You can sense the way in which he has examined his heart and he's looked at his life and he's come to this conclusion that he either needs to be humbled and he is actively humiliating himself or he has been humbled before God. And you know, in our culture, humility and being humbled is of little value. Pride is to be valued. People that are full of themselves and full of their own abilities. But here we see one who is humbled before God. And there's something deeply right about this lowliness, this humility of spirit. There's something deeply right about brokenness. Because Jesus said that the poor in spirit would be blessed. There's something Christ-centered about genuine Christian humility, bringing ourselves to that point where we can say, Lord, you know my heart is not lifted up because I know who I am. My eyes, I don't raise myself, I don't raise my eyes too high because I see who I am before you. And I don't even pretend as though I can grasp things that are too high for me. As people, we often think that we are so important. We think that we are so deserving of the smiles and approvals of men. But here the psalmist stands as one who has been broken, one whose heart has been changed. Humility. Humility as a presbytery and as a congregation and as families and Christians. We are in such need of this Christian humility. The psalmist gives that example. I don't even occupy myself with things too marvelous. And that's not just someone that's self-deprecating. It's not someone just saying, well, I'm too stupid to figure these things out, so I don't even try. That's not what the psalmist is getting at. What essentially he is getting at is those things that belong to God, those secret things. He's resolved with just living life with that which is revealed. And sometimes that causes humility, not questioning the providence of God, not pretending to know what in the providence of God has led to certain things. Just being resolved to live in the way things are revealed. We need to be content with being the least of saints, as the Apostle Paul says, crying out for grace and mercy, humility. We should be resolved to walk in humility and to strive for it the way the psalmist does. The second lesson that we can learn from the psalmist is that of trust. Trust before God. We see the psalmist standing before the face of God and saying, but I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. Here's your English lesson. Do you see the conjunction? But the psalmist is making this comparison. He's saying that pride is what was crucified in the first place, that pride and that arrogance, and it was replaced with humility. And now that it has been replaced with humility, he is able to trust. He's able to say, but I have calmed and quieted my soul. You see, the psalmist is no longer seeing himself and his glory and his enjoyment as his chief end. He's seeing no longer himself as the center of all things, but he's trusting in the one who is the center of all things, trusting in the one in whom the scriptures say we live and breathe and have our being, trusting in Christ. The word here for calmed is the word shabbah in Hebrew. And it means to soothe or to still. And you could see how the psalmist is just calling on himself, soothe yourself, still yourself. And we can think of that in comparison to the anxiety in which much of our culture lives. We can see the word Sabbath in there, that rest, as he's trusting, just resting in Christ. And we can gather the image of the psalmist leaning and trusting and knowing that there is nothing within himself that he is able to cry out and say, but I have the right to this. Any of you mothers who have weaned a child, you know the obnoxious pulling on the shirt. That entitlement that says, I deserve what is under there. And here the psalmist says, I've put that aside. I'm able to trust. I'm able to sit on the lap of my mother and trust that my needs will be met. The psalmist says, this is how he is now before God. The weaned child is an image of trust. It's not a child that is weaning. It's a child that has been weaned. The weaning child cries and fights and fits. And the weaned child, at least in theory, is content. And this is how the psalmist is calling on us as believers to consider our relationship with a covenant-keeping God. Despite the hunger, and despite the pain and despite the suffering that this life brings, our needs will be met. The psalmist is saying, look at yourself. Are you sitting, as it were, on the lap of God, fighting and complaining and demanding and calling out and saying, I deserve this? Or are you calm? Are you content knowing that as we look at life and as the sufferings of life come to us and those hardships come to us and those questions where we say, God, why is this even happening? We are content to trust, knowing that we have a Father who cares. And you know, this trust, this weaned child trust, it's not optional. It's not like we have the Christians that trust God, the Christians that we look at and we say, you know, they trust God and they're just really good examples. And then over here, maybe the Christians that are always fighting against God. It's not optional. Jesus told us that. He says that if we desire to enter the kingdom of God, we will become like a child. We will trust in that way. And that is a struggle for each of us at various times. And this is going to require trust and faith and resting. Shabbat in Hebrew. Resting on Christ and His finished work. And this is part of fasting, isn't it? Trusting God as we deny ourselves. Trusting God as we deny ourselves and maybe even have the thought, will I live through this day? Can I actually handle this? Trusting God, saying, it's true that I cannot live by bread alone. And it's true that my body is weak. Trusting God. Trusting God, saying, you are enough. You are enough. We find as we fast and as we reflect on our fasting, we find that we take so much of our life and we fill in things and parts and time that belongs to God. And we say, you're not enough. I'll get back to you. And fasting causes us to reflect and say, He is enough. It is enough. Trust. So the psalmist shows us humility. He shows us trust. And thirdly, he shows us the need for hope. Look at verse 3. Oh Israel, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Hope. The psalmist puts forth this need for hope, but notice in the text, he's not just calling on himself saying, I've reflected, I know I need humility, I know I need trust, and I need some hope. You figure out what you need. I need hope. He doesn't say that. He's not just concerned with personal religion. He's concerned for hope for the entire covenant community. Hope in the Lord, Israel. It's more than just for himself. He is calling on the church of all time to hope in the Lord and to renew that hope that we have in this covenant-keeping God. And you might say, well, how do I know this applies to me or to us? To us as a congregation? He says, from now and forevermore. Again, this is not something that we end in that room with the food that has been prepared before us and we say, that was fun, that was neat, we should do it again sometime. It's something that is to have application for tomorrow and for Monday and for 2012 and for 2025 and forevermore. Hope in the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Friends, as we've gathered together and fasted together, and as we have not only fasted as a congregation, but knowing that our brothers and sisters in Seattle are fasting and praying, and knowing our brothers and sisters in Fresno are fasting and praying, and in San Diego and in Phoenix and families in Tucson, and I've even heard of families in Scotland that are praying and fasting with us, and families in Pittsburgh that are praying and fasting with us, and across the presbyteries, people praying and fasting for us. asking that Christ would build, asking that Jesus would renew and revive and reform and rebuild and restore. And as we prayed through these prayer requests that lined the ends of the pews, notice that they're not prayer requests that are filled with despair. Of course, there are things on there that should concern us. We don't pretend as though there's no problems. We're not going through life with rose-colored glasses. There are struggles. There are trials. There are difficulties. There are areas that need improvement. But we do not despair. As we prayed through this, it's been about hope. Hope that Jesus would come and visit His bridegroom in a special way. Visit her in a way that is renewing. Visit her in a way that is reviving, and visiting her in a way that is reforming and restoring and acknowledging hope. This day of fasting has been about hope. Hope that we are called to for now and forevermore. This day has also been about trust. Trusting in a Savior who will supply our needs. Trusting in a Savior who will feed us. You know, Psalm 81, open wide your mouth and I will fill it. Trust as a child who has learned that mother will provide. Trusting as one who has been through hardships and maybe even able to say with Job, though he slay me, yet will I trust, or yet will I praise. And this day has been about humility. A presbytery humbling itself before her king and head. A presbytery saying that the best way to begin the commemoration of this anniversary is not with clowns and balloons and streamers, but with humility, saying, Lord, your will be done. Humbly acknowledging sin, confessing guilt, and even requesting grace to continue in the Christian life. Members of the Los Angeles Reformed Presbyterian Church and members of the Pacific Coast Presbytery, today we have been called to renewal in humility, in trust, and in hope. And for that, we must give Him praise. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we do confess that we have been humbled. We confess that we do not trust You as we ought. We confess that we need renewed hope. Father, help us in this. As we commemorate this very special centennial of these churches that we love and invest our lives into. Amen.